turn the sun yellow again. They call you heir of the survivor, hero of ages.
Vin paused, turning to look through the traitorous mist toward the man with his pipe and closed book.
Yes,
she said.
Seems like quite the destiny to live up to.
It's either that or give up. Slowswift sat silently for a moment.
Sit down, child,
the old man finally said, gesturing toward the seat again. Vin reseated herself.
Yeoman is a good man, Slowswift said, but only a mediocre leader. He's a bureaucrat, a member of the Canton of Resource. He can make things happen, get supplies to the right places, organize construction projects. Ordinarily, that would have made him a good enough ruler. However...
Not when the world is ending, Vin said softly.
Precisely. If what I've heard is true, then your husband is a man of vision and action. If our little city is going to survive, then we'll need to be part of what you are offering.
What do we do, then?
Yeoman has few weaknesses, Slowswift said. He's a calm man, and an honorable one. However, he has an unfailing belief in the Lord Ruler and his organization.
Even now? Vin asked. The Lord Ruler died.
Yes, so? Slowswift asked, amused. And your survivor? Last I checked, he was somewhat dead as well. Didn't seem to hinder his revolution much, now did it?
Good point.
Yeoman is a believer, Slowswift said. That may be a weakness. It may be a strength. Believers are often willing to attempt the seemingly impossible, then count on Providence to see them through.
He paused, glancing at Vin.
That sort of behavior can be a weakness if the belief is misplaced.
Vin said nothing. Belief in the Lord Ruler was misplaced. If he'd been a god, then she wouldn't have been able to kill him. In her mind, it was a rather simple matter.
If Yeoman has another weakness, Slowswift said, it is his wealth.
Hardly a weakness.
It is if you can't account for its source. He got money somewhere, a suspiciously vast amount of it, far more than even local ministry coffers should have been able to provide. Nobody knows where it came from.
The cash, Vin thought, perking up. He really does have the ATM.
You reacted a little strongly to that one, Slowswift said, taking a puff on his pipe. You should try to give less away when speaking with an informant.
Vin flushed.
Anyway, the old man said, turning back to his book, if that is all, I should like to return to my reading. Give my regards to Ashwether.
Vin nodded, rising and moving over toward the banister. As she did, however, Slowswift cleared his throat.
Usually, he noted, there is compensation for acts such as mine.
Vin raised an eyebrow. I thought you said that stories shouldn't cost.
Actually, Slowswift noted, I said that a story itself shouldn't be a cost. That is very different from the story itself costing something. And, while some will argue, I believe that a story without cost is one considered worthless.
I'm sure that's the only reason, Vin said, smiling slightly as she tossed her bag of coins, minus a few cloth-covered ones to use for jumping, to the old man. Gold imperials. Still good here, I assume?
Good enough,
the old man said, tucking them away.
Good enough.
Vin jumped out into the night, leaping a few houses away, burning bronze to see if she felt any allomantic pulses from behind. She knew that her nature made her irrationally suspicious of people who appeared weak. For the longest time, she'd been convinced that Set was Mistborn, simply because he was paraplegic. Still, she checked on Slowswift. This was one old habit that she didn't feel much need to extinguish. No pulses came from behind. Soon she moved on, pulling out Set's instructions, searching out a second informant. She trusted Slow Swift's words well enough, but she would like confirmation. She picked an informant on the other side of the spectrum, a beggar named Hoyd, whom Set claimed could be found in a particular square late at night. A few quick jumps brought her to the location. She landed atop a roof and looked down, scanning the area. The ash had been allowed to drift here, piling in corners, making a general mess of things. A group of lumps huddled in an alley beside the square. Beggars without home or job. Vin had lived like that at times, sleeping in alleys, coughing up ash, hoping it wouldn't rain. She soon located a figure that wasn't sleeping like the others, but sitting quietly in the light ash fall. Her ears picked out a faint sound. The man was humming to himself, as the instructions said that he might be doing. Vin hesitated. She couldn't decide what it was, but something bothered her about the situation. It wasn't right. She didn't stop to think, she simply turned and jumped away. That was one of the big differences between her and Elland. She didn't always need a reason. A feeling was enough. He always wanted to tease things out and find a why. And she loved him for his logic. However, he would have been very frustrated about her decision to turn away from the square as she had. Perhaps nothing bad would have happened if she'd gone into the square. Perhaps something terrible would have occurred. She would never know. Nor did she need to know. As she had countless other times in her life, Vin simply accepted her instincts and moved on. Her flight took her along a street that Set had noted in his instructions. Curious, Vin didn't search out another informant, but instead followed the road, bounding from anchor to anchor in the pervasive mists. She landed on a cobbled street a short distance from a building with lit windows. Blocky and utilitarian, the building was nonetheless daunting, if only because of its size. Set had written that the Canton of Resource was the largest of the steel ministry buildings in the city. Fadrix had acted as a kind of way station between Luthadel and more important cities to the west. Near several main canal routes and well fortified against banditry, the city was the perfect place for a Canton of Resource regional headquarters. Yet Fadrix hadn't been important enough to attract the Cantons of Orthodoxy or Inquisition, traditionally the most powerful of the ministry departments. That meant that Yeoman, as head obligator at the Resource Building, had been the area's top religious authority. From what